Welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Dr. Hassan Batts, your host, and I'm in the studio with my guy, man. We're here with Sean Bridges. Sean, I don't even know how to introduce you. I'm going to say son of Reading, Pennsylvania, man, because you're born and raised in Reading. You are a son, you are a father, you are a brother, you are a friend. You're a community leader, like nonstop community leader, level of activism that you do. I know you do a lot of work around gun violence prevention. You do a lot of work around reentry. You help people with pardon. You helped me fill out my pardon paperwork, right?
Right.
People look at me as an expert, and when it comes to pardons and, you know, governmental pardons, you are the expert that I went to. So welcome to the show, man. I'm glad to have you here.
I definitely appreciate the invite. Like you said, my name is Sean Bridges,
mm-hmm.
And I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania, and I wear many hats in Reading, Pennsylvania. Let's just go down the tree of hats I wear.
That's right.
I'm a director of outreach for Not One More that's based out of Penn State that helps us try to help those who've been affected by violence in some type of way,
okay,
whether being an offender or the victim themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I am director of reentry services for The Real Deal 610.
Okay.
A nonprofit organization, grassroots organization that
helps The Real Deal.
The Real Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Those who come home from prison needing to be acclimated back into society again. I'm the person that try to help them do that.
Okay.
Birth certificates, jobs, social security cards.
All of the things you need to get back into
society.
Exactly.
Especially mentorship. I am director of operations for a basketball league, inner city basketball league, called KTB,
mm-hmm.
where I just be there just to help them dysfunction a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm also
so,
a coach.
So it's all the same continuum, right? That's just the prevention side. Basketball,
right.
as my man Mike always says, basketball saves lives.
Always saves lives.
Yeah.
And we start young. That's the thing. We start young.
How young is young?
So third grade on up to sixth grade.
Wow.
Teach them the fundamentals of basketball. At the same time, give them a structure.
And where do you find time for family, like for anything else? Because it sounds like you're nonstop.
And there's more. That's the thing.
There's more.
Oh, definitely more.
Tell us.
I'm the conveyor of Prison Society for Burst County. So I go to prisons to make sure that
Pennsylvania Prison Society.
To make sure women and men and women are being treated fairly.
Okay.
Then at the end of the day, I'm a business owner.
What's the business?
My business is pardon and expungements.
Okay, that's
I'm the guy who helps you fill it out, understand it, and get it processed.
Now, all of this work that you do, how did you come to it? What's your story?
My story is a story of many who have been in the urban areas, right? 1996, I went to jail for a double homicide. 1998, I was convicted of a double homicide and sentenced to death. I spent 23 years in prison, and 20 of those years was on death row.
Death row?
This
is sounding like a movie.
And I went to Greaterford. So I was in Greaterford for 20 years and then happened to get a second chance.
Greaterford is one of the worst prisons in Pennsylvania, in the state, in the country, excuse me.
That's what they say.
Definitely the worst in the state, especially during that time.
Right.
You said 1998.
1998. Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I went in, I just turned 18.
Wow.
I just graduated high school, 95. Went to jail, 96.
Wow. Take us back, if you don't mind. What was it like walking into Greaterford Penitentiary on death row in 1998?
Well, you'd be amazed to know this, right? When I came in, it's another world.
I know
it was. You think you're walking into jumpsuits and boots.
Not at that time.
At that time, you're walking into Kangos and sweatsuits jewelry.
That's right.
I don't know how other prisons ran, but Greaterford ran a whole different other way, right? They ran a way that even though you was locked up, you was in the street.
That's right.
So
even on death row?
Not on death row.
Okay.
But it was different because you had to walk through that.
Okay.
So you're thinking to yourself, not knowing what death row actually means, you're thinking that, all right, I got sent to death, so next week sometime I'm about to be put to death.
Yeah.
To somebody actually sit there and explain to you what that actually means. Right. So when I went there, they took me out to a hole. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm in a cell. But they're gonna open these doors up sooner or later. No.
You were 18, you had no idea what that meant.
Nothing.
And you saw other people walking around the jail.
Exactly. Especially when they ask you a question in intake,
where do you want your body sent? I was in Greaterford.
Like,
that's the infamous, that's when you know it's real.
I said, wait a minute.
The first question is, where do you want your body?
And you would laugh because I said, sent to my grandmother, 540 North 12th Street.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? Like, didn't know what to say.
That's when you know it's real.
It's really real.
And that big gate, that big door closing behind you.
And the funny thing is, I remember none of that.
Yeah.
It's a point of sitting down with somebody and asking you questions, and they tell you where you want your body sent.
Where do you want your body sent?
That what made it really real with me. I'm like, okay, where do you want my body sent? That means next week, 2 weeks. So I'm writing letters to kids. I'm writing letters to family. Like, you know, I apologize for putting y'all through this and stuff like that. But then you learn the law. You learn what it is.
So there's a couple questions. One is, how did you survive that? And two is, how are you sitting here with me? Because death row means you're going to be killed in by the state of Pennsylvania.
You survive because at a young age, I had kids.
Okay.
So I had something to fight for.
That's right.
Other than mothers and fathers, stuff like that, but you got kids. I had a bloodline.
So every day you thought about that?
Every day. Even in days you'd be like, you know what? Maybe it'd be better if I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But being who you are sometimes, it ain't that easy. It ain't that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So you still fight through.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm sitting here today is because the prosecution at that time withheld evidence.
Mm.
So I should have been home, because we found out in 2008. I got a new trial in 2013.
Wow.
They appealed for 4 years. It went to 2017. They said in the Third Circuit Court, it's affirmed. He got a new trial.
Wow.
Then I came back down for resentencing. And court. I think I could have fought it. I think I could have won. But when you spent so much time in prison, you know how the system works.
That's right.
You're in front of 12 people that don't know the law.
That's right.
They're going off of what the DA knows, what his actions are, what his acting is.
And how you look.
Yeah, definitely how you look.
Yeah.
It's definitely how you look.
But I would say you're a rather handsome guy. Bald head, glasses, beard. You know what I mean? It's a familiar face. But that's a scary face to some people.
Yes, it is. Listen, so much so, I had dreads at one time. I'm okay. Bald-headed now, but I had dreads down my back.
I had dreads down my back, too, see?
I cut them off. Because you know why? I said, well, they don't like Mumia.
Mm.
They don't like Mumia. Mm. I'm not going for these people looking like Mumia.
So you had to change your appearance
I changed
to
my
save
appearance.
Your life.
Yes. I got a new trial. If I go back to trial, that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
And so when I did that, they came to me like, all right, listen, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to offer you 23 to 80 years. So it's either 23 to 80 years.
And you had 23 in.
No, I had 20 at that time, 22.
22, no offenses or no recent offenses.
No. I only had my adult record was unauthorized use of a vehicle than this.
Well, I mean within the facility.
No.
So you knew there was a chance you could go home, but there was also a chance that they could make you sit for another 50, 60.
No, it was a chance that they can say, we're taking back the trial no matter what. And
if you didn't take the plea.
Right. Yeah. Possibly losing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, me knowing the system itself, you can't play around with these people. You know what I'm saying? Because let's say I say, all right, you know what? I'm fighting.
Yeah.
And I get found guilty. If they're smart, they're going to be like, you know what? We're not seeing death penalty this time.
Give them life.
We give them life because we already know most life sentences don't get passed the state Supreme Court.
That's right.
While death sentence automatically goes to the federal court.
Right.
A lot
That's
of people
right.
don't know that. So when I tell people it's better to have a death sentence than a life sentence, this is why.
So if the system was fair, you would have went back for another trial?
No, if the system was fair, they would throw everything out and I
That's
went
right.
home
That's
no,
right.
with no numbers.
That's right. My
like right now, I'm walking off. Right now, I'm 5 years home, about 45 years of parole.
Wow.
Right now.
And all the good that you do in the community, what is that? Is that a redemption? Like, where'd that come from?
Well, no matter what, right, I wasn't promised to be home. I had a death penalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to come home with a second chance, I thought it was my duty to come home and where I once was part of the problem, be part of the solution.
That's right.
So no matter what, I mean, no matter how wrong they did what the prosecution did, it's still my duty to help.
We say, if you break it, you fix it.
Exactly, always.
And you're doing just that every day. You've come back to your city. You didn't go to Atlanta or to Charlotte or to Houston, Texas. You went back home.
And they ask me all the time, you can go anywhere. Why you come back here? I said, why not?
I mean, you're a big deal.
I tried to be.
You're a big deal. I mean, outside of your area, your name is known. Your name rings bells. I invited you somewhere. Every room I invite you into outside of Reading, you see people that know you, love you, and respect you.
Right.
So you're a big deal, but you choose to go home and say a little more about that because we're encouraging everyone to do that.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that because they had a meeting I went to, I think it was last Thursday, right? The schools, a bunch of teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a meeting with themselves. And I said, well, how many of you are going to college? Most of them raised their hands. Well, how many of you coming back? Most of them didn't raise their hands.
Exactly.
I said, why?
They're going to Miami.
Right. They said they're going to these different places. I said, why? Well, this problem. I said, well, part of making that solution is you'll come back and fixing
That's right.
whatever's going on here. Not saying you're part of the problem at the time, but in order for us to get better here, you got to come back here and fix that.
That's right.
Or help fix it.
That's right.
And they all looked at me like, you know, you're right.
Because you have the most intimate solutions. You have the most intimate
Even kids.
Relationship with the problem. Yeah, especially kids.
Like, I went there for a reason, to figure out how to get them part of the youth coalition.
Okay.
Right? I said, at the time, I knew what it is, but not what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I thought you had to be the big wigs somewhere to be at this coalition.
That's right.
I didn't know it could be mom and pop stores.
That's right.
And most thing we didn't have was youth. So I can have a youth coalition of violence
without their voices. Without the youth. That's right.
Can happen. Yeah. And I spent to them. I even gave them scenarios about some mentees I may have, right? And I said, how would you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And they had good solutions. And I said, see what I mean? While we can try as adults to do the best we can with youth, but we can't really make effective change without them.
We need them.
Exactly.
What motivates you at this point?
The things we do that are working.
Mm.
So we don't stop.
Mm.
Not a lot of things shake me, right?
Okay.
Even when I'm upset, I'm like, all right.
Well, but 20 years on death row, 25 years at Greaterford, it's going to be hard to shake you, man.
Right. It's like a, I would say it's a learned trait.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Survival. Survival instincts.
Exactly. So I'd be like, all right, we need to do this right here. But if we don't do this right here, this is the end result, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. We got facts.
So you're logical.
Right. We got facts. But if we try this over here, it's a possibility of change.
That's right.
So what you want? Facts? What's not going to happen? Or a possibility of change.
So you know if we don't do anything, we know what the outcome is.
I definitely know what the outcome is.
So you want to try something.
Got to try everything.
Give it a shot. Yeah.
Not just something. Got to be everything we can.
Try everything.
Because right now, our kids are coming extinct.
Wow.
And they're coming extinct off of nothing. I'm not saying it's right or correct, but when in our times, it was for reasons. We broke. We need money. This and that, right? Now it's just off of real estate we don't even own.
Mm.
You looked at me funny, so I'm putting you down.
You're seeing a lot of violence in your work?
Yes, you see a lot of it. And it's necessary.
And you're saying the cause is just unnecessary.
Unnecessary. Like if you looked at my girl walking past, I might shoot you. I might shoot you.
That's what it's come to.
You walk on this side of town, and you live on this side of town, I might shoot you.
So you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. and the conditions in the community have improved. What did it take to get there? What are the two or three things that need to be done in your community?
The first is community. We can do none of this alone.
Mm-hmm.
You got to care. You can't say, what's that main word? See something, say something.
Okay.
If you see something, don't say nothing. It's going to continue.
So that's part of the problem.
Definitely part. That's the biggest part of the problem.
Okay.
Because one, and you can't fault some people because it's out of fear.
That's right.
Because if I say something, the stigma of you're a rat, the stigma of
I still got to live on Burke Street. And they're coming.
Exactly. And they are coming.
Yeah.
So it's depending on you how you want to handle it. Like, they are coming. But at the same time, if it's your grandmother or your little brother, what are you going to want to happen?
So you got to think about it from that perspective.
You got to think, because if you want them to say something. Like, I had somebody tell me, I don't like cops. Okay. But if your grandmother's in a dark street walking by herself, and these dudes are coming down the street, and there's one cop that's coming down the other street, and he helps your grandmother. What are you gonna say then? Do you appreciate it, or grandma? You shouldn't let that cop walk with you.
Well, I think there's the institution of law enforcement and there's the individual. So we have to have a distinction between the two.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing is community. What's the next? What else does the community need for to get?
The next could be the individual.
Say more about
right?
that.
Right. We can't walk for nobody. At the end of the day, right? But you definitely can walk with them. So when the person got consistency of support, they're more logically going to be do right
okay.
than not.
Okay.
But the consistency ain't there. If you tell me I'm going to be there no matter what, you come once or twice and then stop, and then you see him down the street selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, hey, what you in this corner for? Why do you care?
Because you didn't show up.
You told me you're going to walk with me. You're going to help take me to the job.
So you're saying the individual gets support from that same community consistently. The mentors show up, the right. teachers show up.
The community comes in when we're working together. The yep. individual comes in when that one-on-one comes in.
Okay.
Because you always got to hit one-on-one. Not everything's for everybody.
So that's the mentorship.
Mentorship.
And you're big on mentorship.
Yes, I got a few of them.
Whether it's basketball, whether it's preventing gun violence, whether it's reentry,
yes.
one-on-ones, you believe that it takes individual relationships to help people.
Right now I got 14.
14 people you're working with, one-on-one.
I shouldn't have 14.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, being a director, you shouldn't have 14 kids you run around, but I don't mind that.
Because you know it's needed.
But it's needed.
That's right.
Because it's going to come a time that, and you might not see them every day, but they know that if I'm called upon, I'm going to show up.
We use this African saying that says, the child that is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. And you are talking about being that warmth as an individual and collectively as a community.
Right.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Talk. We're in the studio with Sean Bridges, who has a long, beautiful, dark, but full of light journey. And we will return. Thank you.
Do you have vinyl albums, 45s, or CDs on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the donation, and you can claim a tax deduction. For more information, or to arrange for a drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. You're here with Dr. Hassan Batts in the studio with Sean Bridges. Sean, you have an amazing story, man. I've known you for some time, but it's really starting to unpack. And I want to get back to, you mentioned being on death row for a double homicide. Mm-hmm. And I think our experiences make us just kind of normalize that and glass right over that. Our listeners might be like, wow, you know? So let's talk about, how does someone as intelligent as you, coming from a good family, like a genuinely good dude, I mean, I know how to read people.
Right.
How do you end up on death row for a double homicide at 18 years old?
A lot of people don't know because they go by what's on the papers, right? So I was only charged as accomplice. I was never charged as a shooter of double homicide, number one. The stigma of you have to protect what's yours, right? So when my family at the time, my newborn son, the girl I was dating at the time, was put in jeopardy or threatened, I thought as a man,
I got to
go confront, right? And then as the confrontation took place, other things happened.
Mm.
I paid for that. Even at the parole hearing, right? It was interesting. My first parole hearing, I went in.
This is after 20+ years in.
20+ years. And everybody telling you in population, don't worry about it. The first time you're going to get denied. So don't get your hopes up. Of course, I don't go by that mindset. So they asked me questions. I'm answering their questions. At the end, he said, you're talking and I'm hearing, but it's one thing I'm not hearing. Of course, my first mindset is remorse. Nah. He said, you're not upset. You're not angry. I said, angry, upset.
I've never seen you angry.
He said, because the DA withheld evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Evidence that might stop you from being on death row, being locked up. I said, yeah, true. But I still made decisions, right? If I made the proper decisions, maybe two people still have been alive.
Wow.
Maybe that I wouldn't be in here talking to you right now. But I'm here. I take accountability for my actions. He said, all right.
So you had the remorse. You didn't have the anger.
Right.
You weren't mad at the world.
At the system.
You weren't mad at the system. You weren't mad at the world.
23 years, it's hard to be mad at the system. Now the system's already passed. Now it's time for you to get back out there and do what you have to do. Because
mm-hmm.
if I waste the time and energy of being mad at the system, how's it going to help me? And people ask me, well, mentally, how you still where you at? I said, because I vented it. Whether it be with a neighbor.
Ended it?
Yeah, vented it. Like, you talk, get it through. Like, you're allowed to go to the yard with one other person. It's like a dog kettle when you're in the yard. So multiple of them. So you have two people in each kettle. Or you go to the library with another person. So people you mess with, people you cool with, you go in there and you talk. You vent it out. I'm tired of this, or my family acting this way, or this court system doing this.
Yeah.
But you continue to vent. You're not holding it in. I knew a strong dude, Muslim dude, knew the law, knew the dean, all this stuff. But he never vented. He never talked. He always, until one time, he went from being this knowledgeable person to throwing feces through the bars.
Wow. He
throwing
lost
pee
his
through
mind.
The bars.
He lost his mind.
Talking to himself, right?
Yeah.
At the end, wound up killing himself.
Yeah.
So it was like, do you want that? Or do you want to keep what you got
so
left?
So at your young age, you witnessed these things and they challenged you to do something different.
Yes, because you know, everybody, when you first go to jail, especially for a long period of time, you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the family at?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the girls at? Where's everybody that I was out there doing something with and being helpful to them? They're no longer helpful to me.
That's right.
Until you leave that alone. Sometimes it took me like 5-6 years for it to happen.
Yeah.
But once it happened, you're like, you know what? All right, I'm in the books. I'm writing letters. I'm watching TV. I'm typing. You're doing every little thing you can.
You got focused.
To just stay.
I'll tell you, I've never seen you upset. I've never seen you angry. I've never seen anything kind of shake you.
Nah, because, I mean, they'll get you nowhere.
It's perspective.
Not that I can't be. And I'm sure there's something to do it, but I don't look for it. And before that can happen, I can walk away.
That's right.
I can remove myself from any situation. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. You told us earlier what you would change about the streets. What would you change about the system?
In order for the system to be changed, right, it got to be changed from within.
Okay.
more fairness, especially when it comes to, like you said, the parents of someone. That shouldn't dictate more or less what you're going to be sentenced to, mm-hmm. or if you're believable or not, mm-hmm. right? The jury, a little more knowledge. Because if you're going off, mm-hmm. if your DA can act the best more than your public defender can act the best, how that really being fair to you? Mm. And an ultimate person being the judge. So technically, the DA can say what he want, lawyer can say what they want, but the end ultimate is the DA, excuse me, the judge. The
judge that matters.
He gonna say, listen to this, listen to that.
So you've seen and met a lot of people that have been harmed by the system?
Yes. And that's from death row all the way up until it got the population for that year.
Yeah.
And you see everybody. That's why I said me taking 23 to 80 wasn't far-fetched. Do I want to? No.
23 to 80 years.
Like, 23 years.
We have to slow down when we talk about those numbers. I'm telling you, because Joe average listener can't imagine. That's a mortgage to them, right?
Like, right. So like, you're going to deduct 23 years off of 80. And that's what you got to walk off.
Yeah.
And I've been home 5 years. And in the 5 years, I might have accomplished a lot.
You have.
Right?
You've changed a lot of lives in the 5 years you've been home.
But one split second, depending on if you got a parole officer that don't care what you've been into or don't want you to be out because he feels the type of way about
that's
that,
right.
can say anything, get you locked back up.
Just coming to visit me, you may have anything. To communicate with someone.
Like visit to anything.
To go speak at a university.
Any little thing. Like I'm prison
side. They invite you to Columbia University to speak.
I ain't going nowhere without permission.
You got to get permission.
That's right. Until I do my own job on myself.
That's right.
And get my not the sentence commuted, but the parole commuted.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be that way.
How do you manage that? Like, beats the alternative, I suppose.
Piece of alternative, and I was having a conversation with somebody that speaks about the rules and regulations, right? I said, what's my options? Until I actually fight and get it removed from me, what's my options? Because I got people on speed dial.
That's right.
I got state reps. I got senators. I got judges.
They all know you.
DA. I got many people that can be like, hold up. You buck up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
Leave this man alone. But I don't want to use that for that.
You use that for other people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Talk to our listeners. What do you want our listeners to do? What do you want the average Joe and Jane listening to this show to know and to do? What's the call to action?
Okay, the call to action is this. Do not judge a book by its cover.
Okay.
Right? Because always somebody that's out there not only willing to help you, but willing to make change. Help them with that change.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Okay. That's the only way we're going to be able to make change in the system, in our lives, in our community.
So that's on an individual level. Is there anything on a macro level that you want to do, on a systems level you want them to do?
Like a micro level? Well, micro level is still the same thing. You're still going to make this the same because you can't separate the two.
Okay.
It's hard.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So don't be part of the problem.
That's the main thing. Don't be
Keep
part of the problem.
Keep it simple like that.
Because
do the right thing. Stop judging people.
Right. If you know Joe Smo just came home,
mm-hmm.
and you see what he's doing. He's out here volunteering at the church. Mm-hmm. He out there volunteer at the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
He out here volunteering at the school to make sure these kids is right.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you want to be part of that? And if you know he's doing right, speak up about it.
That's right.
Because no matter what, everybody comes home from prison that are successful is helping the next man come out of prison.
That's right.
The same way if he come out
act right. I don't think people understand that.
Yeah,
right?
Same way if he come out act stupid, it's for mess up for next man
to
come out.
Yeah, so when someone's doing the right thing, they're influencing the people coming behind them.
Right. And I always tell people, I'm not a unicorn.
That's right.
I'm not a unicorn.
They always want to act like we're special.
Nope. I said, I'm not a unicorn.
That's right.
The only reason you see me is because I'm proactive in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, you got to be proactive in your own life. People that just reach for prison. I used to work at a courthouse. Remember, I got to walk off 45 years of parole. And my second job was at the courthouse doing expungements.
That's crazy.
So somebody come home and say, I can't find no job. Nobody going to hire me.
Keep
and I'm,
trying.
And I'm not saying they're not going to get doors closed in your face. That'd be naive. But somewhere, somehow, somebody going
to
hire you.
So is that your message to somebody that's a prison survivor that's coming home?
Yes,
keep going.
Keep going.
Don't quit.
You can't quit. Now, you know, you don't quit. You can't
you
quit.
You can't quit.
You can't quit.
Doors are going to be slammed in your face.
That's the only way you're going to be able to be successful in your own life and be productive in your own life if you can't quit.
That's it.
No matter what. There's a reason for you say prison survivor. You survived the hard part.
The hard part's behind us.
Now you're home.
There's going to be difficulties.
Yeah, you difficulties,
but there's
you're
nothing
home
like
now.
Greaterford.
Nah, and the thing about Greaterford is the inmates ran the prison.
That's right.
Right? So they're going to make it the way they want to make
the
it.
The feds took over. When you were there, the feds came in and took over, right?
They came over. They tried. No, but I was in popular. Excuse me, I was still on death row when that happened. Okay. But they came and took everything out and made it where supposed
and
to be.
Shipped
but,
everyone out.
Yeah, but soon they left, though, it went back the same thing.
So I came through grateful. Yeah. It's a rough stop, man. You know.
But remember, it's always how you carry yourself. Yeah. So if you're into all that, it's going to come to you.
That's right.
If you ain't into all that, you see it, but you mind your business. It don't come to you.
We say that prison is a dangerous, a lonely, and a depressing place. And that is trauma. And enough people don't talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. So you have millions of people walking around our communities. Because the overwhelming majority of people are going to be released back into our communities that have suffered and experienced and survived this trauma that aren't getting the supports that they need.
But that's the problem, too, because the mental health, while they put on there that you have to go see mental health when you come home, that's your...
That's not happening.
That's part of it, right? And if you don't, you get locked back up.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, I can go in there and say that I want. I'm good. Yeah, that's I'm cool. Right. I'm good. What else are they going to say?
And this is November, so this is Men's Mental Health Month.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do to manage your mental health?
Family.
That's what does it.
I should take downtime, but I don't. But me not doing it, it's not because I don't want to or I feel a stigma. Me helping others is my...
That's part of your mental
part
health.
Part of my mental health.
Giving.
Yes, being able to talk to kids and while I'm somewhere, people yelling down the street, hey, coach.
That's right.
That's me.
That's beautiful, man.
Right? Like, you got people to tell you, well, you can't sustain this or you can't sustain
You'll
that.
You'll burn out. But you're saying it invigorates you.
Might burn out.
It rejuvenates you.
Yeah, but me, that's part of what I do. Me sitting down, not doing nothing.
That'll burn you out.
That'll burn me out. Like,
So what's next? What can we expect? What can the world see from Sean Bridges?
Well,
from
I hope to one day be able to come out and do like you do, like to be out and talking and doing speaking engagement and being able to motivate others to know that I am not a unicorn.
That's right.
You can do it too. And it's not just for people to come home from prison. It's just people in general. Like I'm doing right now, once a week program at a shelter. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I went in there, I said to him, I said, who in here feels hopeless and why? Mm. Right? They raised their hand and they said, things I can't control, stuff like that. I said, well, what are the key words you saying? And one of the key words he said was, something I can't control.
That's right.
He said, well, see right there? You're dwelling on something you can't control. But you going to get a haircut. You taking a shower. You going to this newspaper or online to see what jobs are available. Mm-hmm. That's something you can control.
You have control
over that. So if you sweating that or worry about that right here, you're forgetting about this all over here, right? And to continue being productive in your own life is a much easier thing to do than sitting over here in this chair in a shelter and worry about, I ain't got no home. We already know that already.
Yeah.
But you know for sure, right? Remember I said about that facts thing? You for sure in a fact that if I sit in this room, don't do nothing, ain't nothing coming to me.
Nothing's going to change.
But if I get up,
it can only get
leave
worse.
Every morning and go try to find a job, soon later, somebody going to say, you know what? We're going to take a chance on you.
Eventually. Eventually, right?
Eventually.
Things are going to improve.
Yes.
So you want to do some motivational speaking. How can people reach you? If there's some speaking engagements, if they want you to come
speak
keynote
engagements,
something.
You can go to Bridges in Spirit. LLC
Bridges,
at gmail.com.
Bridges like Bridge.
BRIDGESINSPIRIT LLC at gmail.com or SeanBridges2012 at gmail.com.
You have a powerful story. I think the world needs to hear it. I'm waiting for the book, waiting for the movie to come out. Like, seriously, man, you got a powerful story and you change lives, you're changing your community, and I believe that you continue this work, you're going to change the world on this journey.
I'm definitely going to try.
Yeah, I'm glad you're home. If I've never told you that, you are a blessing and a gift to our community, to our state. I'm glad you're home. Thank you for joining us. Is there anything you want to add in closing?
Like I said before, just keep being proactive in your own life. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do, because there's no such thing. Continue to do what you want to do when it comes to being proactive in your own life in a positive manner.
From the man himself, those are the words from Sean Bridges, father, son, brother, community member, community leader.
And grandfather. We're
gonna forget your grandfather.
I got 8 of them.
You have 8 grandchildren?
8 grandchildren.
You got me beat. I have 4. Wow. 8 grandchildren. Congratulations, man.
Definitely appreciate
it. Listen, you're living life.
Definitely living life.
You're living life. I'm proud of you, man. Welcome home and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are listening to Let's Talk with Dr. Hassan Batts and Sean Bridges. Until next time, be safe. And don't ever forget who you are. Peace.